Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to The Bosses. That's where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek movie news and culture. I'm your host for the day, The Big Boss, and I'm here with my fellow geek guru, The Professor. What's up, bro?
What's going on, brother? What's happening?
Nothing much, man. You know, they started off a little rough, but everything is good now, and I am playing God of War, so all is right with the world.
I hear you. I'm just diving in, but I'm digging it so far.
Yeah, man. Yeah. For anybody who has not purchased this game yet, this is definitely the game to get. So, person, we'll talk about it later. We'll probably go through the review, but I mean, I'm having a blast. So, yeah. All right, let's see what's going on in movie news, geek movie news, and anything game or TV related. I got a couple of items I want to go through with you guys, so let's dive right in.
All right, set it.
All right, first up, we got the weekend box office. Coming out number one is a Quiet Place with $20.9 million. Rampage coming in second place, not even too far behind it with a 20. We can round it to a 20.1. 20.1 million, and rounding out the third place is I Feel Pretty with 16 million. So what's your thoughts on this, Professor?
I mean, it seems about what I expected, you know. I mean, Quiet Place is getting all kinds of good publicity and press saying it's a great movie, so you know, I'm not too totally shocked that it jumped up over Rampage. You know, I didn't really expect much from Rampage anyway, to be honest.
Right.
I don't think there's anything real shocking there. You know, the Amy Schumer movie is going to get her fans come running, you know, with Life and Pretty. I haven't read good things about it, but...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, it just... I think, unfortunately, for Amy Schumer, people are tired of her. You know, I think when she kind of... Well, and I don't mean to say that in a mean way, but I think when she kind of shifted away from her comedy for a while to get real heavily into the political angle... you know, and threw everything she had behind Hillary Clinton and, you know, would alienate anyone and everyone who wasn't for Hillary Clinton, essentially, I think it cost her some fans.
And, yeah.
You know, when that happens, you can't expect to come back a year later making a movie and expect all of those same people are going to jump right back in line with you. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
You know, it's like, look, my personal opinion, you can have whatever opinion you want. You know, if you're a celebrity, you can say whatever you want, but you have to be prepared for that backlash to it.
Right.
If it was me, personally, I'd keep my mouth shut, and I wouldn't tell anybody what my affiliation is, because bottom line, it's none of your business. but, you know, I think if you don't want to have to deal with that kind of thing, you don't want to hurt yourself to an extent some places, you're almost better off keeping your mouth shut.
Yeah, true.
If you feel strongly enough about it to move on and not, then fine. Do your thing, but... You know, expect that backlash because it's going to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, all in all, it's basically you just got to be ready to take on the repercussions of, you know, you voicing your opinion. You know what I'm saying? And this is definitely what's happening. I can see it now, but hopefully, I don't know. Maybe it'll gain some traction in the next couple of weeks, but I'm very surprised that all the, well,
look,
yeah, no.
It's not gaining any traction this week whatsoever. Because there is a movie coming this week that's going to knock everything off this list.
Right.
In a single night. So, I think this will be the only week we see I Feel Pretty in the top three. Because Quiet Place and Rampage will dump down to 2 and 3 as Infinity War takes over the number one spot for
probably
the next, let's see, it's 27th, probably the next month until May 21st.
Mm-hmm.
When Deadpool 2 releases.
Yeah.
Which will take over Infinity War at that point because it's going to be brand new and everybody's going to want to see that.
Right. Definitely.
So, yeah. No, it's not going to gain any traction at any ground. I Feel Pretty is going to start there and it's going to end there as far as the top box office.
It's a shame because, like, everything that came out last week, I Feel Pretty is the only one that placed in the top three. Super Troopers 2, I think was 4, and then Traffic fell at one of the lowest spots too in the top 10. So it's this is surprising in the fact that none of them hit except for this one. Super Troopers, I was kind of expecting a little bit more, but I guess, I mean, it's been so long since the original.
Well, and I think with that also, it's I think it was only a limited release. I don't think it was in every single theater. It was only so many. And like you said, it's been a while since, it's been 20 years since the first one or something close to that. Maybe not quite that long. I thought I was listening to a podcast and said it was 20 years. It was like 15 when they did the last one. And it's kind of a niche movie to begin with. Like the first one didn't do well in the theaters at all. When it hit DVDs, when it blew up, turned into a cult classic movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, the second one doesn't really surprise me that it didn't do quite as well. But, you know, if it's in fourth place right behind I Feel Pretty, and it did have a limited release, which I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, it did. 2,000 theaters, I believe.
Yeah, that's almost half the amount of theaters that I Feel Pretty did. How much money did it do?
It did 15.1 million, and it did almost as much.
So it was in 1,400 less theaters, and it did only a million less than I Feel Pretty. So
yeah. And it already hit its budget. It already hit its budget because its budget was 13.5. I Feel Pretty only hit half of its budget. A Quiet Place, which was really surprising. It did really well. Came out on number one this past weekend. Its budget was $17 million. So they've already grossed $131.2 million, and their budget was $17 million. So needless to say, we'll probably be getting a sequel for this. But I'm looking at these other titles. Traffic came in at nine. And these are all the previous movies from the previous weeks are still holding up above that. So, but Leah, like you said, come this weekend, it's out of here. Like there's
nothing's
gonna matter.
No, it's gonna be a Black Panther-esque obliteration of the rest of the top three. I mean, that's a guarantee. It's not even us just saying that. That's a guarantee that Infinity War is going to blow the doors off the rest of the box office this week.
Yeah.
There's no two ways around it.
Yeah.
Have to find out every single member of the cast pulled some kind of Harvey Weinstein for that to not do well this weekend. And even then, it would probably still do more than A Quiet Place did.
Right, right.
Because I'm going to go see it anyway.
I've been waiting for this movie for how long?
Right? 10 years, dog. 10 years.
10 years.
We've been waiting for this final climactic movie of what happens. Thanos finally arrives and finally starts doing things. I am not going to this movie on Friday.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, God forbid I'm in a hospital somewhere, and even then they're gonna check me out so I can go watch it.
Yo, I'll be back in 2.5 hours.
That's right. Am I dying? No, then I can live another 2.5 hours. I'll be back.
Oh man. Yeah, so let's dive into some geek news of the week. Got a couple of items here, a couple of new trailers coming out, casting news, all that good stuff. So let's go through it. First up in gaming news, we got Ubisoft's The Division video game movie. It basically lands Deadpool 2's director. This is really solid news for this production. We've been waiting for this movie for a little bit, hearing news here and there. Jake Gyllenhaal starring and producing, also Jessica Chastain starring in it. So we got David Leitch, who is currently directing Deadpool 2. He directed Atomic Blonde. He's going to be doing, I believe he's doing the Hobbs in... I can't remember the other character's name.
Oh, Jason Statham's character?
Yeah, Jason Statham's character. He's doing that spinoff for Fast and the Furious. So we'll be looking forward to seeing that when that comes out. But this guy's got a lot of solid action titles attached to his name. So I'm very interested to see how the Division is going to turn out in his hands, because we got a little post-apocalyptic kind of military op movie. So it should be pretty good. I mean, if we get any of the light moments that we're going to get in Deadpool 2, we're not saying the writers are a part of it, but at least as far as the direction is concerned, how the shots are organized, like the trailers for Deadpool 2 look incredible. So if we can bring any of that spark over to the Division, we got a solid movie coming out, man.
Yeah, I mean, if he can catch some of that fire, you know, potentially could. I mean, look, we talked about video game movies last week, and or the week before. And that was last week.
Yeah.
And how difficult a time they have and why. This is one of those that is interesting because it doesn't really need to be based in the video game. I mean, you want to, I imagine it would make sense for them to go with the overall arc, right? With the sickness that took over people and caused the city to go to a post-apocalyptic kind of phase. But that's really all you need to take from the game. As long as you don't change that, you're really not getting too far away from the game because the rest of it is just all militaristic, you know, action type, you know, trying to rescue people and things like that. So this one could potentially really end up working because there's a lot of ground they can cover that will still fit exactly with how the game is. So this one could finally be it.
Yeah, this could break the 100 mil mark, I think. Especially just because of the points that you said. Like, the only thing that it has to follow from the game is the fact that it's a post-apocalyptic story about, you know, mass disease being spread, and majority in New York. It's based in New York. You know what I'm saying? So it happens in various big cities all over the country, but it starts in New York, at least from what the game is concerned.
Right.
As long as you follow that main arc and that these are these agents are a splinter cell, like a dark ops unit within the government that are, you know, sent out there to kind of maintain law and order, in these chaotic times. Yo, you have a solid film. You have a solid film. And there's no way to get around it. You don't have to change anything in the game. There's no characters that we're following specifically in the game, except for like maybe one or two characters that are holding up the base of operations. So right. If we get a couple cameos from those characters, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? But it's not going to make or break the film. We just need that story told from the soldier's perspective.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, this could be a good deal. We could finally break that 100 mil mark.
I think because of the way the game is designed, because it's more of a almost an MMO type shooter game, so to speak, I think it leaves it open to make it easier because you can create your own special, like you said, you can create your own specific characters that aren't in the game. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they can just be part of the world. They don't have to be part of the game. You bring in some of those characters that are in the game, maybe if you want to try to grab the people who've played it who would know those characters.
Right.
That would be wise, but you don't even necessarily need those. It could be a completely different city, you know, that this has happened to after New York and after Manhattan. You know what I mean? It could be a completely different part of the U.S. Because I don't remember if they said it had spread beyond New York. I don't remember. I haven't played the game in a while, so I don't remember if it spreads beyond New York. You know, if they do a Division 2, I imagine it will.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you could very easily do that and have a whole new set of characters and still follow the basic storyline of what's going on in the game.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple, you know, things that you want to keep going with it. I mean, if they decided to follow a specific character, I mean, the only character that, you know, provides any type of sustained story throughout the whole game is probably the Aaron Keener character, who is basically your main protagonist, the rogue division agent who you have to deal with.
Right.
Throughout different parts of the game. But you never really face this guy. You never face this guy at all. No. So you don't even necessarily need him there. He can always be this dark figure lurking in the back. For all intents and purposes, this could be an Aaron Keener origin story. We could be getting that. It's like either way, you're not losing. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of story that they can really exploit here and really make a solid film. So I'm wishing the best and hoping that it comes through the way that it needs to. So. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. So let's that's game news. Technically, it's like a hybrid game and movie news. So let's move into some movie stuff. got two trailers we're taking a look at this week. Deadpool 2 releases their final trailer, and Equalizer 2 comes out. Equalizer 2 releases its official first trailer. So thoughts, Professor, on Deadpool 2, and if you got a chance to look at it, the Equalizer 2.
So I never saw Equalizer 1. So I was talking to somebody the other day who said they should go watch it.
Cause
I don't remember it coming out, to be very honest with you, otherwise I would have watched it. Cause I do like, Denzel.
Yeah.
And like, I like, Man on Fire. I liked, love Training Day. You know, so I dig him in these kind of roles, what I can tell from the trailer. I just never saw the first one. I don't remember it existing. So I can't say too much about that. The trailer looks fun. You know, I mean, it looks like a fun action movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I'll definitely be into that. You know, I like to shoot 'em up action movies always. You know, with an actor as great as he is, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. Look, Deadpool is Deadpool. How do you not love what we're seeing so far?
Yeah, man.
You know, it looks like it's not really going to miss a beat from the first one, which is interesting because all those reports came out early on that people saw the first showing and didn't like it.
Mm.
You know, and then it kind of turns around and they were like, well, it was really kind of this one guy who came out and said he didn't like it, but he had non-disclosure, so he couldn't really say why. And now, you know, everybody went to see it and saw about how much they loved it. It was weird. Like, it was very strange when that first one came out that they didn't have much more than, you know, a handful of quotes saying that it was kind of, you know, kind of this, kind of that, and it wasn't as good as the first one. Everything since then has been amazingly positive as far as being as good as the first one.
Yeah.
And the trailers are fantastic. You know what I mean? Look, it's got Terry Crews. That alone is going to be fun in itself. You know what I mean?
Right.
Recent stills have shown what looks like Colossus throwing a right hand into the head of the Juggernaut.
Yeah, man.
And it was funny. I was driving home today and my iTunes on my phone on shuffle. And a song came on and I'm like, if they don't use this for the Juggernaut scene in Deadpool 2, they missed an opportunity. And it was, you want to take a guess as to what it might have been?
Oh, man. It wasn't the song that was on the trailer, was it?
No, it's not in the trailer. It's been used in, I can almost give it away. It was used in, I think, Bad Boys 2.
Oh, no. What was it? I can't remember. I can't remember the song.
Ludacris.
Yes. Now,
think about Ludacris, what you would put with Juggernaut.
Move.
Yeah. That's right. That is absolutely right.
Yes.
If you don't put that song with Juggernaut in this movie, you've missed an opportunity. If he's in the movie, which we're not 100% sure he is, but
right.
If he is, and you don't in some way, shape, or form play Move Bitch by Ludacris while he's running through stuff, you've missed an opportunity that would be fantastic.
Yo, that would be awesome.
That would be so funny, especially because it goes back to, you know, the first appearance of him in the movie where, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. You're like that. It would be so perfect to throw that in there.
Oh, man. That would be good.
It looks hilarious. You know, I mean, it's the same stuff in the first movie. It looks like we're going to get second movie, the very Deadpoolish, you know, Ryan Reynolds. Even kind of a little throwback to Wolverine Origins in the trailer where he's hacking the bullets up with his swords.
Yeah,
only this time, instead of killing the people behind him, all the bullets are still hitting him. You know what I mean? So
it's like, wow, your bullets are really fast.
The one is just him, he's panting, and he's, this is what happens when you turn 40. You know, so it just looks fantastic, as always. So, you know, I'm very much looking forward to that. That'll be another day, you know, at least a half day at work so I can go see it in the afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. I mean, I loved both of these trailers. A lot of it was grounded on the music choice for both trailers. You got LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out.
That's a great one.
On Deadpool 2, which was awesome. Like it was great. And then Equalizer 2 has Kendrick Lamar's Backseat Freestyle. It's like, yo, I don't know what it is about trailers, but they use that as an opportunity to do the best, kind of like the best stitching of music in these trailers as of late. I've been hearing some really good tracks coming out of these trailers. So for these two, yeah, I mean, Deadpool 2, I'm so ready to get back into this world. Ryan Reynolds is perfect as Deadpool. It was almost as if this man was born for this role. It's going to be good to see all the new characters. Zazzy Beetz is Domino. It's really going to be fun seeing how they show her powers and abilities of, you know, probability manipulation and all that stuff. That's going to be cool. Terry Crews, seeing him in there. And who is the no name guy that's in there? He just showed up for the interview and just was like,
oh. What's his name?
What's his name?
He's got his own Twitter account.
He's got his own Twitter account now.
That's really funny. I know the actor, I think, is Rob Delaney, I think, is the actor.
Yeah.
I
want to say his character's name is like Jeff or George or something.
It's like Hank or something like that. It's something that average. And you just see this guy
free falling with the parachute, got the goggles on, just looking like a boss, yo.
The big porno mustache just looks amazing. It looks like he's going to be one of the best characters in the entire movie.
Yo, really. He was like, so what powers do you have? He's like, oh, I don't have any powers. I just saw the ad, so I showed up. Like, you're hired.
You're the best. I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yeah, that's going to be hilarious.
So Twitter account just makes it that much better.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, man. And then Equalizer 2, man. If you haven't seen it, the best way I can describe it is a cross between Man on Fire and John Wick. As far as the action is concerned, and the character development, that's how it feels. The greatest parts of those movies into one film. Like, Equalizer was just a nonstop action. It was like Denzel's character in that movie was the manifestation of death. That's the only way that I can consider his character. Like, that's how monumental that story was to me. I was like, yo, this dude is just, he is dealing out death like it is his job. Like, this is what he was born to do. And so the way the trailer sets it up is they killed his best friend or whatever. And so he's just going on a rampage. And that's what happens. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't understand why people mess with these operatives. And you going to either kill their dog, you going to kill their friend. Like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Like, I don't want these problems. So, but I mean, it looks great. The cast looks strong. I don't see any returns except for Denzel's character, of course, obviously. But, you know, some of the characters from the previous ones, well, most of them are dead. But some of the people that he helped, I was expecting some of them to be around, but it doesn't look like it. We got, what's the guy? He was on Game of Thrones. I can't remember his name. He was the guy that got killed by the mountain. He pressed his eyes in and ripped his head off.
Oberyn. And Game of Thrones, his name was Oberyn, but I can't remember his real name. He's got like a real ethnic name I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, he was on Kingsman 2. He was on Kingsman 2. He was Whiskey?
Was it Whiskey?
I think it was Whiskey.
The guy with the whip.
Yeah. The guy with the whip, yeah.
I think it was Whiskey. I don't remember. But yeah, that was definitely him.
Yeah, but he's in it, and he's playing, he looks like he's playing like a close role to Denzel. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up portraying him in the end, because this just, it just feels like these movies get set up for this.
It kind of has that feel in the trailer when you watch it. Yeah, it really kind of does.
But yeah, man, I'm digging both of the trailers. Can't wait to see both of the movies. So I am all in. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Sure.
Yeah. Next up, we got a little sad news. Sad, but maybe not, because it gives way to some kind of rumor and conjecture. But there's no Hall H this year for Marvel at this year's San Diego Comic-Con, which is really big news. I remember there's been a couple of years where they've pulled stuff from San Diego Comic-Con, and so they haven't been there. And, you know, that's primarily because they have this new D23 Expo that they normally do every year. So normally if they pull something from Hall H, they're going to showcase it in D23. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, like, going off of what the professor said, I believe it was last week we were talking about it, or the week before. You know, we're looking for some X-Men Fantastic Four reveals maybe at D23, and they just want to save it for that. So
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I mean, they're look, by the time Hall H rolls around this year, the game's pretty much over. You know, we don't know what Avengers 4 is going to be like, but that hype train is coming this Friday, so they're going to be exhausted anyway.
You know, right, I mean, look, right.
We still got Ant-Man versus the Wasp later this year, which looks like it's going to be a really fun movie. So I'm kind of surprised they're not going to be doing some stuff, at least for that. Plus, you know, we still got Luke Cage 2 is coming this year.
Yeah, buddy.
I don't think Daredevil 3 is coming this year. I don't don't know if Punisher 2 is coming this year. I don't think so. I think it's just Luke Cage is left. Basically, it's Luke Cage and Ant-Man versus the Wasp. So it may just be a matter
Iron
of...
Iron Fist, possibly. Iron Fist.
Oh, maybe Iron Fist 2. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But it may just be... It ultimately may just be a matter of they don't have enough to take with them to display this year. You know what I mean? Because we know what the movies are that are coming, and they're probably not ready to reveal too much about most of the ones that are coming next year because they're so focused on Infinity War.
Right.
But still, it's one of those things where Marvel and Hall H are pretty synonymous. As, you know, the closer, when they do a Hall H, Marvel comes in, or Disney comes in and does Star Wars, and then Marvel, you know, one of the two comes through. Could they be doing Star Wars thing? I don't know, because Solo's going to be out by then. The next movie won't be till next year.
Right.
So I doubt it. You know what I mean? I really kind of agree with you. I think this leads that they have some major announcements they're saving for D23. Which is in the summertime, which is when the Fox announcement's going to go through. So they have to be preparing at this point. Look, they pretty much know it's going to go through at this point, right? Like you have to imagine it's that they know it's coming. They know it's done at this point. They just can't say it clearly because they're not allowed. You know, the little things here and there, like reinstituting the Fantastic Four comic book after taking it away for so long because Fox, you know, wasn't going to play ball. You know, they didn't do that with Spider-Man because Spider-Man was huge and has like 7 different titles. So there's no way they were ever going to pull Spider-Man off the shelves, no matter what Sony did. X-Men are the same thing. There's a dozen different titles of X-Men, and so they couldn't do that. Fantastic Four had one comic. That was it. One comic. So Marvel said, you want to play ball? Okay. Fantastic Four comic canceled. It's not doing well. We're just not going to do it anymore. I'm sure it wasn't. That's why you're bringing it back. You know, so they know what's going to happen. You know, I would find it hard to believe if they don't know it's going to be done. They're just hammering out the final, you know, minute details as to how to make that happen.
Right,
so I would not be shocked if all this stuff is being worked on behind the scenes right now, that they're looking for directors, they're looking for writers for these movies, and that they're putting a plan together as to how to integrate them into the MCU future. And I think, like you said, I think D23 is going to show all of that summer of next year.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
that's why it sucks that it's all the way out in California, because we can't, well, we could, but we're not going to go.
Yeah. Unfortunately... You know, we cannot go. We can just give you the news after the fact. So
until one of you starts paying us to do this, then we can go out there.
We are looking for donations.
That's right. Donations or
investors. You know,
investors is even better. You know, someone to say, hey, we like what you guys do. Here's a bunch of money to keep doing it. We would gladly do that tomorrow.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Hint, hint. That's right. So, yeah, until that happens, D23, I think, is out for us, unfortunately. But
yeah.
I do think that's when we get our big reveal.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be some...
Absolutely.
The next couple years for Marvel is looking bright. So, I am excited. So, I can't wait.
I'm with you. Especially with this news here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, all right. So, here we go. All right, so the next little bit of news is all going to be Marvel-centered. I mean, this is pretty much Marvel week. I mean, we got Infinity War coming out, so that's basically what we'll be talking about.
Basically.
So the next bit of news is about Avengers 4. Not this Avengers is coming out this week, but the Avengers that we'll be seeing next year, probably.
Yep.
So Avengers 4 adds Emma Furman as an older Cassie Lang. This is big news. This is big news because not only does it give us a look at the future, of the Ant-Man arc, but it also gives us an idea of what the storyline is going to be for Avengers 4. So, for those of you that don't know, Emma Furman, she starred in the movie Blended with Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler. I think it was a Netflix movie or it was a series or something. But she was in that movie. That's the first time we like see her big credits to her name. But she'll be playing an older Cassie Lane. Now, what this could reveal about Avengers 4 is that, you know, Avengers 4 is going to deal with time travel and dimension travel. So alternate dimensions, you know, different timelines. So we'll be dealing with a future timeline, a past timeline. I mean, we've already seen clips of Avengers 4 with the Avengers, namely Captain America in his Avengers Assemble, the first Avengers movie uniform. So we've seen these pictures out and about in the internet. So, you know, them adding Emma Furman as Cassie Lang could present a series of different options. We could be getting introduced to the Young Avengers in Avengers 4, where they could be setting up characters like the Patriot, Wiccan, Hulkling, you know what I'm saying? These characters who, if you follow the Avengers lore and where the comics go, like these are this is the next generation of Avengers, and Cassie Lang is a part of that group. She basically inherits the same abilities as her father. So the suit, she gets the suit from, you know, Steven, and I guess she can use the abilities to grow or get smaller, just like, you know, original Ant-Man. So this is pretty strong news coming out about Avengers as far as casting is concerned, because there's a lot of things you can surmise about that. So, yeah, what do you think about that, Professor?
I would be kind of surprised if they went that angle, only because I don't know. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't really know how popular the Young Avengers are, because that's not one I've ever really looked into. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe I wouldn't really be totally surprised if they went that angle. I could see it as maybe kind of a future thing. You know, the trouble with Avengers 4 is we don't even know what it's called.
Right.
Apparently they won't tell us the title because it's a spoiler for Infinity
they
War.
They say it's going to have you shook. Once you hear this title, your world is going to stop.
So maybe in the next 2 weeks or so, we'll actually hear what the title of Avengers 4 is going to be.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, man, because we haven't seen this one yet. So we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if anybody's going to die. We don't know if the next movie is going to be some kind of fallout from this, or if it's going to be technically a sequel to the, like an actual sequel. Because they've been saying forever, it's not a two-part movie anymore. It's originally supposed to be a two-part movie, it's not a two-part movie anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But every single actor that talks about it calls it Avengers 3 and Avengers 4. So they talk about it like it's a sequel when they talk about it. So it's hard to really say. You know, you see the clips from the set, and there's, you know, Downey's chair, and there's Evans's chair, and there's, you know, Johansson's chair. So all of the actors appear, sound like they're going to be in the next one too, in Avengers 4 also.
If they're not already filming for it, aren't they already filming?
I think they're done, or they're close to being done, because they were filming them, I think, back to back.
Yeah.
So, you know, are they going to be flashbacks? Are they going to be time travel pieces? We don't know. There's no way for us to know. So it's hard to imagine what role she's going to play ultimately. But I don't know. I don't know how to take that. I don't know how to take the fact she's going to be in the movie. Yeah. You know, part of, I think, what will help is seeing Ant-Man versus the Wasp later this year.
Right.
You know, we know she's still a little girl in that movie because you see her in the trailer.
Right.
But is it going to be a matter of from that movie to Avengers 4? You know, 10 years has passed, 12 years has passed.
Right, right.
That kind of stuff. So, they could go any number of directions on this as far as that goes.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I know they're giving Sebastian Stan a hard time because he made some comment about a scene that's got everybody in it. He talked about Michelle Pfeiffer and
that's right. He talked about Michelle Pfeiffer and,
what's his name? Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, yeah.
Being in the scene, everybody's like, what? They're in the scene? They're in Infinity War? You're like, no. No, he was probably talking about Avengers 4, because they're pretty clear that these two aren't in this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be showing Ant-Man versus the Wasp trailers already.
Right, right.
Or Ant-Man and the Wasp, not versus the Wasp. I imagine he's referring to 4, which, you know, could end up having that ultimate, you know, battle scene. We don't know what's going to happen at the end of this one.
Yeah, man. So, you know,
we have to wait 3 more days to find
them. Yeah, so once we get that movie watched, we'll do that review for you guys, let you know what's going on, and hopefully we'll be one step closer to figuring out the story, because, man, I'm being completely thrown for a loop. And I guess it's not helping, but it's just purposely I don't want to watch any more clips. I don't want to see any more news about Avengers Infinity War. I want to watch this movie now.
I watch them all. I can't not. I watch them all. I just can't not do it.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see this, though.
Good. They're too good.
Yeah. Oh, man. And just to keep the Marvel news going, we got information that Moon Knight is definitely being considered for MCU's future. So, and he's being considered for Phase 4 type work. He's not being considered for, you know, I thought that this was going to be something like along the lines of a Netflix movie, but it looks like, or sounds like, they're bringing Moon Knight to the big screen.
Yeah, you know, and I'd be okay with that. I think Moon Knight might fit overall better as a big screen than a Netflix, although I could see him working both ways.
Yeah.
Was always one of my favorite comics to read. I never fully understood exactly what his abilities and stuff were, because it kind of changed from time to time, I think.
Right, right.
But I always loved the character. I always thought it was a really, really cool character. It's very Batman-esque as far as the character is concerned. But you know, the basic premise is you have this guy who has split personalities, one of his personalities being Moon Knight, who's, you know, a Batman-esque vigilante. You know, one of them is a cab driver, one of them is just a regular guy kind of thing. So he's a little off-center as far as the character goes, but it was always a fun comic to read. It was always a really cool character.
Yeah.
There have been some very strange interpretations, so I don't know which way they'll go with this, but I'm very, very much looking forward to it because I really, really always liked the Moon Knight character.
Yeah, this is big news. I'm excited. I can't wait to see where they take this and what they do, because this is definitely going to be a darker tone film. And it's time. I think Marvel kind of earned their spot. They paid their dues. They've, you know, earned their stripes, and now they can take a little bit of a darker tone with their films and do some more grown things, you know what I'm saying? And now that they've acquired Fox and, you know, all its properties, they have Deadpool. So automatically their properties are going to be a little bit more adult and themed, you know what I'm saying? So this will be a nice step forward for Marvel, kind of expanding its universe, giving audiences, you know, a very different varied amount of styles to appreciate on screen. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this Moon Knight franchise develops. So
yeah, this would definitely have to be a darker franchise because of the way the character is. So
yeah,
this could very well be proof that they're going to start making their own, you know, but much darker type movies in the Marvel Universe. This would be the perfect one to start with.
Yeah. Especially if they're doing a rebrand, you know what I'm saying? If they have like a brand or Splinter Cell of like more mature themes, like this would be the best way to debut it, is just doing Moon Knight, you know?
I still think that they might just take that Fox movie studio rebranded as like Marvel Knights.
Yeah.
Which would be, you know, the Marvel, a more adult dark side, you know, theater experience. And maybe that's why they're not crossing over the Netflix shows. Maybe that's the ultimate plan.
Yeah.
Is to take Punisher to the big screen. You have to have a Marvel Knights type movie, you know, type setup where you can put him in an R-rated movie. You know, maybe that's the next time we see the Defenders all together is an R-rated movie, which could be amazing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's the plan. Hopefully that's the way they're going.
Yeah, that'll be good, man.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get some more news about that. We will keep you guys posted as the news develops. Indeed. Yeah, man. So let's take a little break, and we'll come back to you guys with some memorable moments in the MCU after the break. Hey, what's up, Boss Fam? Big Boss here. And as much as the professor and I love giving you the geek news of the week every week and discussing all things geek culture, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least try to use our platform to do a little good in the world. And that's why the professor and I, along with some of our friends, will be working together with ExtraLife.org to raise money for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Extra Life unites thousands of gamers around the world to play games in support of their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. And since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids. Extra Life is a 24-hour fundraising and gaming marathon to support these Children Miracle Network hospitals. And on game day, November 3rd of this year, the Boss's Desk will be joined by thousands of gamers and dedicate an entire day, 24 hours, to play games and get donations from friends like you. 100% of your donations go to our local hospital, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And together, we can make a difference for sick and injured kids. Your donation is 100% tax deductible and will make miracles happen for families who desperately need them. So go ahead, click the link down below, the donate button down at the bottom of our podcast page, and it'll take you to a webpage that will allow you to make a safe and easy online donation to our cause. And now let's get back to the show. All right, folks, we're back, and now we're going to start doing a little different, little special title, special, level moment here. We're going to look back at the MCU over the 10 years that we have been able to enjoy all the stories that have been told by Marvel Studios, and we're going to just talk about our top three most memorable moments in the MCU. So let's dig in. So what do you got for us, Professor? What's your top three?
All right, so all of my top threes are appearances by different characters that struck me as just will kind of sit in my mind, forever as those iconic scenes. So
yeah,
the first one, which would be at number three, is that very first time you see the red and gold armor getting completely put on Stark. You've seen the initial armor, which was really cool. You saw the silver armor that he gets put on before he goes for his first flight. But when he finally actually becomes Iron Man, right before he's heading to Golmera, and you see the pieces coming in, all the pieces moving, everything's rotating. Yeah. It's just such an amazing... Because, look, that's really what kicked everything off.
Yep.
That was the first movie, ultimately, we're not counting the Ang Lee Hulk. It was really the one that kicked everything. Yeah, the one that kicked everything off, and just that scene there is like, okay, here we are, here we go, and it's just an amazing. I will never forget seeing that in a theater and just feeling like this is awesome.
Yeah,
just amazing, amazing.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope.
Number two for me is post credits of The Avengers, and it's a tough one for me to put at number two because of the character. One of my top two favorite villains in the Marvel Universe. But that first time you see the back of Thanos and he's sitting in his chair and the Chitauri behind him, who has a name that I can't remember, says, going on about the Avengers, he says, to challenge them again would be to court death. And just this head turns and this big grin on his face before it cuts away. Showing Thanos' face for the first time in the MCU.
Looking like, my mission objective.
Exactly. Looking like, that's what's up. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to do. That's my girl.
I'm sending the love notes, man. I'm trying to get them digits.
It was just so awesome. But it does not top. Now, it's biased, but I'm going with it anyway.
Okay.
Does not top my favorite moment following one of the dumbest words in the history of man. But you hear Tony Stark yell, under ruse. And for the first time ever in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we see the appearance of Spider-Man. My all-time favorite character. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I love Peter Parker. I love Spider-Man. And in he shows in the full gear, looking as close to the comics as you kind of can get.
Clean,
sometimes.
Man. Just clean. Looking clean.
It was a toss up for me between that and the first time we were talking kind of offline about that first time that the Widow and Iron Man are talking about their options, trying to capture Rogers, Wilson, and Barnes.
Yeah.
And he says to her, I got my idea. What's yours? She says, it's downstairs, referring to T'Challa, Black Panther.
Uh-huh.
She says, where's yours? And he gives that Tony Stark grin for about half a second, and that jam kicks in, and you see the back of the head of this young kid, and you immediately know that's Peter Parker.
Queens,
that's
man.
Spider-Man in Queens. We are seeing him for the first time, and it goes through that amazing scene in the bedroom with the two of them, where Tony's basically going, "I know who you are, kid. Just give it up." And he's still trying to hide it. And he says to this day, what might be my favorite bit, my line wise in any of the movies, where he says, "Because when you can do what I can do, and you don't, then the bad things happen." And you know, in that moment, he's referring to Uncle Ben, but they never say it. Yeah. But if you're any kind of fan, you know at that exact moment, he's referring to the one moment in time that changed his life, when he could have stopped somebody, and he didn't, and it cost his uncle his life. Just the way they did it was so brilliant to me.
Yeah.
It was tough not to pick that, but that first appearance of him in the suit, ready to go, that really got me jazzed. That's what made, between that and the first appearance of Black Panther in the movie, is what made Civil War, for a long time, my number one, till Winter Soldier bumped it back down after watching it like 16 more times.
Yeah.
And put Civil War at number two. But yeah. Those are absolutely my top three.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So for me, I got my top three, and then we'll talk about some honorable mentions after this. For me, number three, starting right off the bat, is going to be in The Incredible Hulk. It's that last fight scene. He's fighting the Abomination. And the Abomination kind of like, he's talking to him and he's kind of threatening him. He's like, "Well, what are you going to do?" And then, you know, goes back to the Hulk and he says, "Hulk, smash!" And he just pounds into the ground, you know, bangs up the earth.
Gets the guy's that about little to throw evil grin on his face, yeah, before he takes it
was
off.
Just, oh, it was just awesome. It was just awesome. Like, I don't know what it was. I think everybody in the theater was kind of just like, "He said it. He said it. Oh my God, he said it."
Yep. Yep.
We've been waiting for this for the longest time, because we got Ang Lee's catastrophe, and it just did not turn out well. Who a lot of people call Baby Hulk. He looks like a baby. But when you look at those pictures, he looks like a frat boy. That's Bro Hulk. Like, I call him Bro Hulk. And I wish that we didn't get that iteration. We got some really strong actors in that iteration, but it just wasn't the one that I was looking for. And the Incredible Hulk that we got with Will Hurt as Thunderbolt Ross, and Ed Norton as Bruce Banner, and Lou Ferrigno coming back to reprise his role as the Incredible Hulk. He did the mocap and he did the voice. So, I mean, it was just right on so many different levels. They even had a Lonely Man track on when he's trying to hitchhike out of Brazil. Like, it was just perfect, man. It was just everything we needed from a Hulk movie. So, yeah, that's coming out in my number three. My number two is going to be Captain America Winter Soldier. The fight scene between Bucky and Cap in the street. Like, all war is breaking loose out in the streets, and Cap and Bucky are just going at it. Cap has a shield, Bucky has this knife, and it's just close quarters combat to the fullest. There's probably been two moments in cinematic history where I've held my breath in fighting scenes, and I told you before, is that the first one was Born Identity. I think it was the second one. It was that bathroom fight scene.
Fight, yeah.
Yo, the bathroom fight was crazy, and this was pretty much on that same level. It's like I'm watching this fight, pop, pop, exchange, exchange. Like, there's no breaks. There's no, "Oh, I'm going to let you recoup. Oh, we have this." Like, this is, I know exactly where you're going to hit. You know exactly where I'm going to hit. We're going at it. Who's going to win? I don't know. I'm holding my breath the entire time. And, you know, when he presses Cap up against that van with the knife and then cuts the van as they're slightly, yo, man, there were no bad beats in that fight exchange. It was perfection.
It was just a fantastic.
Yo, shout out to the actors, shout out to the stuntmen on that scene, because that was incredible. And then, you know where I'm going to go for my number one. Everybody that know me know where I'm going for my number one. The cultural and historic event that was the Black Panther.
Bombay.
Woo! Bombay Lee! Yo, that movie on so many different levels was just it's a piece of it'll always be for me a piece of history. It's like, you know, a lot of people argue, oh, you know, Black Panther was the first to do it on the screen. You got Spawn, you got Catwoman, you got Blade. You know what I'm saying? First off, you're Uh-oh. Talking about Catwoman in all of this.
I can't believe you added Catwoman in there.
Like, first of all, we're not going to talk about Catwoman because that shouldn't have happened.
If you mention Catwoman in that argument, your point is invalid.
Yeah, you don't get to talk. You don't get to talk no more. I know what your taste in superhero films are, and it's not the best.
As our boy Age used to say, go to bed.
Just go to sleep. Go to bed. Take a nap. Yo, I'm saying, man, like Blade and Spawn were definitely great in their own right, but you're talking about two franchises that are catered to an adult audience. You know what I'm saying? Black Panther was a family event. It was a family event, cultural phenomenon. Like, everybody could see this. Like, when my kids get a certain age, I can show them Black Panther and they will see themselves represented very thoroughly in that movie. And that's what I want. I can't show them Spawn and Blade. They're not ready for that. I'm not trying to scar them little kids.
I did get to see it again yesterday. I finally got to go see it again yesterday.
Nice, nice.
And I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean,
look, I'll be straight up honest. I don't think it's necessarily Oscar worthy, except for maybe the visuals, like some people are trying to push it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's an excellent, excellent movie.
Yeah.
I also think, is it Wakabi?
Yeah, Wakabi. Yeah.
Wakabi's a little bitch. But that's a whole other story.
Yo, he's like, he turned on my man so quick, yo.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, yo, you're supposed to be my boy.
but it is a good movie. I mean, there's no two ways around that. It's an excellent, excellent movie, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do for a second one because the first one was fun, man. The first one was fun. I do think I liked T'Chaka's Black Panther armor better than all the other ones.
I think T'Chaka's was nice.
T'Chaka's armor was badass, and I didn't really catch it the first time. You know, you see, because it's kind of one of those where you're like, oh, and then the helmet's gone right away.
That helmet really makes it.
Sweet. It was because really
it almost
nice.
Looks like the face is kind of like scowling, growling.
Yeah. I dug it.
Yeah, so.
Although it did kind of take me out of it a little bit in the scene where he's about to burn the plants.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy who's with me turns to me and he goes, why didn't she just take more than one plant? I was like, yo,
she had to get in there
and get out, I guess. I don't know. What do you
want? She already knew what she was trying to do with it. She was trying to give it to T'Challa. Not to T'Challa. Oh, Mbaku. She was trying to give it to Mbaku. So she only needed one.
Yeah, they didn't know T'Chaka was alive yet.
Right.
Spoilers. So,
yeah, if you didn't see it by now, I don't care about you. I don't. There's no love here for you.
I mean, obviously, I knew that was coming. So
yeah,
but that's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, I know. Look, we obviously overlooked some. We could talk about honorable mentions. We were talking about that before.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're not going to get too much better than Puny God. Ultimately, watching Loki get his ass bounced around on the floor.
I stood and clapped for that.
You did. He did. Ladies and gentlemen, I can attest that he did because I was with the man when we saw it. He literally stood up and clapped as loud as he could as soon as that happened for the first time.
And I was like, yes, get that ball.
The entire scene itself. You know, and then, of course, they bring it back in Ragnarok, which is equally as funny when it's there. The other scene in Ragnarok that to me is pretty iconic and funny is Get Help. Get Help is hilarious.
Get Help is not hilarious. It's only great for you.
Yeah. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. Get Help, my brother's hurt.
Whack. Tosses Loki.
Let's see. What are some of the other more iconic stuff that sticks out?
Iron Man 1. Iron Man 1, where Tony has to suit up to go take on Obadiah. He's going to take on Obadiah. He leaves out. And Terrence Howard is looking at Tony like, oh, man. He's like, that is so cool. And then he looks over to the right And you can see that Mark One armor. He's like, next time, baby. I was like, oh!
Everybody who knows got into that. That was great.
Yup. Oh, so too bad Terrence couldn't stick around for that.
You know, I love Don Cheadle, but I like Terrence Howard too.
Yeah, Terrence Howard was good.
He was good. I don't care what anybody says. He was good as Rhodey.
Yup.
I was actually thinking about, because I know we talked last week about the potential of Rhodey taking over as Iron Man if RDJ steps away. I think Terrence Howard actually might have been better as a solo Iron Man movie than Cheadle would be. Although I like Don Cheadle, I think Terrence Howard would have been better.
Yeah.
Civil War, very end of the movie where Cap and Iron Man are fighting and they recreate that comic book scene where Cap's got his shield up in front of him and Iron Man's shooting the repulsors at him and they're flying all over the place. Fantastic image there. You know, fantastic scene bit there.
Good. Same movie, Civil War. Spider-Man and Cap are fighting, and Cap gets Spider-Man in this position where he has to like hold up this whole like walkway or whatever.
Yes.
And he's like, hey kid. He's like, you fight pretty well. He's like, where you from? He's like, I'm from Queens. And he laughs and he's like, where are you from? Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
And he just walks out. I was like, man. Boy, if I was from New York, dog. I think I would have shed a tear, yo.
Oh man, there's a lot of just stuff that will stick to me. Like the first time I saw the Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah.
I was like, that's beautiful. That's an excellent way to have designed that and make that the way it is.
A lot of people sleep on the first Thor, but I feel like that was expertly directed. I think Kenneth Branagh he did really well on that first outing of Thor. Like, we had never been introduced to this character. Most fans hadn't been introduced to this character before, and it was a great debut for Thor, in my opinion.
I agree. I liked it. Yeah. I liked it a lot. Yeah. Look, and ultimately, there's none of these movies that I really didn't like. There's ones I liked less than some of the others, sure. Dark World was not the best, but I didn't hate Dark World. I won't necessarily go out of my way to watch it again, often, but if it comes across TV, I'll sit down and watch it. Or some point, you know, I'll be flipping through my library and go, let's give this another go.
Right.
But to me, it's not like, for me, that movie, the bad part isn't Thor or isn't Malekith. It's, you know, the reliance on, what's her name?
Yeah,
Kat Dennings and Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, yeah.
You know, I don't have anything against Natalie Portman. Kat Dennings annoys me, but I don't have anything against Natalie Portman. I just don't think they needed to focus, you know, some of what they did onto her as much as they did.
Yeah. See, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum because I'm like, Natalie Portman, I think they could have got anybody to play Jane except for Natalie Portman. I was just like, yo, anybody could have played this role. Like, why this woman? I just don't understand. My girl said Rachel McAdams, if they had got her before she did Doctor Strange. And I'm down for that. I would have been down for that.
Well, I mean, Dark World was well before Dark World Thor, well before Doctor Strange. So they could have. Maybe she just wasn't available. I don't know. It's
hard to say. Yeah.
Trying to think if anything else jumps out at me.
What's the guy's name? Luis from Ant-Man. Story that Luis tells. That's a great moment in Marvel history.
Homecoming. When he jumps off the top of the building and the wings come out from underneath his arms.
Those
iconic web wings that he wore as a young Spider-Man. It's pretty sweet to have those there.
Yeah.
Fun
fact, there was very little stunts that Tom Holland didn't do in that movie. Like, kids, that boy psychopath. Went all out. Yeah.
Yeah. Kids in that case.
Yeah.
Pretty much any Stan Lee cameo could be really considered an iconic spot in those movies.
Definitely. The fight between Ant-Man and Falcon.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
I also like, because I just watched it yesterday, we're just pretty much going to start naming every scene we can think of. The original Ultron is defeated. It's laying on the ground in Stark Tower, and it's singing the Pinocchio, I Have No Strings On Me song. It's pretty
sweet. That trailer ended up, like, I can't watch... Like, I don't watch Pinocchio anymore. I can't listen to that song the same way. anymore. It creeps me out. Oh man,
there's too many more we could probably go through, but that's pretty good cross section, I think, of all the stuff we really love from those movies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so many more. There's so many more. Like, even if you talk about just the little film that Howard Stark leaves for Tony in Iron Man 2. It's so many good moments where it's just like, dang, yo, like, this is crazy. Like, this is actually really happening. You know, every moment Phil Coulson is in there, and then see him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. It's just, it's been a good ride. It's been a great 10 years, man. So I'm looking forward to Infinity War this weekend.
Oh, look. We're going to jump right into geeking out with that, because that's basically going to be what it's going to be all about.
Pretty much.
I mean, there's nothing else. There's nothing else this week. I have to get through 2.5 more days of work. That's all I know.
Yep. There's literally no other new movies coming out this week.
Nope.
Except for Infinity War. Like, the whole world knows that this is the week.
Because every movie studio that had half a brain cell looked at the date. And then when Marvel moved the date, went, we got to move again. Because we're not going against that juggernaut this weekend and losing all that money.
Yep.
Which is exactly what would have happened. That's why I feel pretty moved. That's why Rampage moved.
Yep.
They all moved when Infinity War dumped back to the 27th, because they knew they would be screwed.
Yep. And they will tell you, oh, no, we didn't move because they moved their movie up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I got a farm to sell you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean that's basically all the geeking out is about this week, man.
Yeah, between Infinity War and God of War, we're just a warmongering people today.
We are. We are. Although it's funny, I've heard people calling it Dad of War this week, which is pretty funny if you think about it.
Yeah, it is. It's actually really a great coming of age story, at least for Atreus's character in that game. But it's good. I like seeing Kratos like this. Like, we got history with Kratos.
It's very different.
Yeah. So it's like, this is where you expect this type of character to go.
You can feel it at some point. We're going to see Kratos. I'm talking Kratos. We're going to see him at some point in this game.
Yeah. I mean, he still rages. We still got the rage mode. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to come out. It's going to come out.
But he's got a better cap on some things. You know, like, it's not really much of a spoiler. The very big, like, literally in the first 30 seconds of the game, one of the wraps on his arm falls off, and he kind of looks at it for a second like it's one of the chains with the Guild Chaos Blades, and he kind of see in his head, like, I know what this looks like. I remember it. But he just kind of slowly wraps it back around his arm, like trying to put it down. So
it's like, I'm not that Kratos.
Kratos no more. I think we're going to see that Kratos again.
Yep.
This game is over.
Yeah, man. It's going to be good. It's like finishing this game and then, you know, watching Infinity War. I'm a content geek this week.
Yeah, buddy.
Can't nobody really tell me much of nothing. So. As far as what's releasing out this week, I mean, you guys know, Infinity War is coming out this weekend. We got The Handmaid's Tale Season 2, which is a really great series. If you haven't watched it, I'm telling you, check it out. It's a nice little post-apocalyptic thriller centering around a cult. Like, you'll want to see this one. Don't judge a book by its cover, trust me, because I did, and I almost missed out. So, yeah.
I am going to throw something in here real quick that just crossed my mind.
Yeah, what's up?
And I'm going to give the first ever official Professor Giant middle finger to the Stars Network for canceling Ash vs. Evil Dead after only 3 seasons. Yes. Just out the other day, Stars is not renewing Ash vs. Evil Dead for a season 4. It is one of the best shows on television as far as Stars go. As far as Stars go, because not everybody has the channel.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the channel and you're an Evil Dead fan, haven't been watching Ash vs. Evil Dead, you've made a tremendous mistake, because it was the best show in a long, long time. It's only half an hour every week, but it killed it. Bruce Campbell being Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi bringing the Evil Dead. You know, I don't know if there's any hope of Netflix maybe snagging it and continuing it. I really hope that there is.
Yeah, I think they will, man. I bet money on that.
I hope so. Because it's I just don't think so much it. Fun. It's yeah. so good. And there's only a couple episodes left now, so I'm going to really be disappointed when it ends. But, yeah, it's the first ever official Professor F you to the Stars Network for getting rid of my Ashes versus the Dead.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. But Stars hold some good, they have some pretty heavy hitting shows. So I'm kind of surprised that they did this. They made this move. Cause you got Power, you got American Gods. I can't think of anything else that's on Stars, but it's like, yo, these are like your heavy hitters and you're getting rid of your OGs. Like, I just don't understand like what's going on with that.
I don't know.
Maybe they need to get bought too.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Somebody's going to continue my boy in the show.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that is it. I mean, we could talk about God of War some more, but I mean, I don't think that... here's the thing. You got to get this game, especially if you're a fan of the franchise. If you just love action games, if you love like hack and slash games, it's a different kind of spin on the hack and slash game. It's deep. It's a deep story. You dive deep into Norse mythology, which I am very intrigued with now as a result of playing this game. Now I look back and watch like Thor and look at it differently now through the lens of this game. So, I mean, this is fun stuff. So, I mean, it's definitely a buy, definitely a go buy for me.
I would agree so far. I would absolutely agree. This is one definitely want to pick up and purchase.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, and YouTube, at The Boss's Desk. We also have this podcast up on both Google Play and iTunes, so subscribe to this channel and get regular updates from new episodes. If you have any questions about anything you heard in the show or any news that you want the bosses here to talk about, just send your questions to us on Twitter, just tweet at The Boss's Desk, or send us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com with your questions. And you might hear them shared here on the podcast in the future. So yeah, that's it for us here at The Boss's Desk. This is the Big Boss and the Professor signing off. See ya.
See ya.